All right. Before we dive into the tornado warning system that we're going to be asking Bill about, I just wanted to touch on the Philippine typhoon and what is needed over there. Those poor people, I mean, they are needing food, water. What can Lubbock and the surrounding areas do to help?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Curnell
is with the American Red Cross. Sorry.
Good morning. You know, when I was watching the news on the way over here, I saw a woman standing in the rubble saying, we don't need money. We don't need technology. We don't need cell phones. We need food. Mm-hmm. And food aid is on its way in right now. Obviously, like any large-scale disaster, there are going to be long-term needs, and those needs will be met by a number of non-governmental organizations and nonprofit organizations, and that's all driven by money. So whatever agency, whatever affiliation you have, whether it's the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross,
United Way,
Doctors Without Borders, any of these wonderful organizations, they will be looking for financial contributions to help sustain them in the coming years as they help the Philippines recover.
Okay. So don't send stuff.
Don't
over there.
Send stuff. That's right.
Well, and
it's just too costly, and there's no time to sort through everything.
And in jest, I say, and you know, this is a serious business. But you know, if you were sending food, I mean, it's how do you do that?
Well, yeah, that's why it's best to give money to the organizations who can purchase it closer to the Philippines and ship it over.
And ideally, that's what you want to do. You'll send the money over to Malaysia and Indonesia where the food will be purchased. And then eventually, as some of the cities come back online in the Philippines, you'll spend the money there and help the local economy that way.
Right.
I have to give a shout-out to Breedlove, though, because a lot of food aid will be leaving Lubbock from Breedlove heading over to the Philippines. And
that
so
cool.
That's it's a unique resource we have right here at home, something the community really should be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome.
It's an awesome organization.
Yeah. All right, Bill, we had the work session last night, City Council, the Tornado Warning Task Force made a report to the City Council, and there were several different aspects of that: social media, reverse 911 calling, NOAA weather radio, sirens. Let's start with the social media or just an overview of the report and then go into 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, the overview of the report is that there's no single warning system that will serve Lubbock best. It's a very simple statement after 6 months of work. We're looking at a comprehensive multimedia type approach of using several technologies that overlap each other in an attempt to reach as many people as possible, understanding we will not reach everybody. And so that was the recommendation that, hey, we continue with NOAA weather radio, that we continue and take a hard look at sirens, and that we look at a technology that's beginning to come online around the country, mandated by FEMA. One of the new technologies, and we start getting into a real alphabet soup of acronyms here. One of them is called CMAS, which is the Commercial Mobile Alert System, which automatically, without you doing anything, pushes emergency messages to your cell phone if it's supported by the carrier.
Now, that's any kind of emergency message, not necessarily just weather-related?
Well, there's three kinds. There's amber alerts, there's presidential emergencies, and then there are emergency alerts. And emergency alerts would be those pushed out by local emergency management. Tornadoes could be a hazmat evacuation for a particular area. And the way that system works is, regardless of where you live in the country, if you are near one of the cell towers in the affected area, you will get the message. We've seen one message here in Lubbock that was pushed out this summer. It's just coming online. We're probably 2 to 3 years away from that being available to us. But it's one technology we're really looking at to save lives, not only of our residents, but whoever happens to be here in the Lubbock area shopping or going to the doctors or going to the game.
Now, Bill, a lot of people say that social media is the answer. Ups and downs, quick.
Social media is fine to warn you that, hey, we're going to have severe weather, or, hey, we've just opened a shelter. But when you only have 13 minutes on average to warn someone of a tornado, it's not a fast enough way of communicating. Mm-hmm. People have to sit there and pull the information down, and it's not very effective.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's we have a lot of people that send us messages on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And so a lot of times, if things go unanswered, Facebook, you know, puts us on the suspension. Like right now, my page can't even be displayed.
Yeah. And, you know, I logged in late last night, and right at the top of my news feed was something from 24 hours earlier. So who knows what right. Facebook does
okay.
with the formula.
Sirens, that's going to be way down the road. A lot of research left. NOAA weather radios, what's your advice?
Buy them. Get a NOAA weather radio. Get one that has SAME technology so you can program it for the types of alerts you care about.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. News Talk 790 KFYO 744 with Tom and Laura. It is Wednesday. We were visiting earlier with Bill Curnow. He is former president of the board, yay?
Former chairman of the board, that's right.
Former chairman of the board of the South Plains Red Cross. Currently a volunteer for South Plains Red Cross and a representative of the Tornado Warning Task Force
mm-hmm.
that has just recently, last eve, made proposal to city council. Now, I was thinking when we were talking about all this stuff that, Bill, this was going to be, you know, kind of like maybe a 3 or 4 minute slam dunk thing. This is getting complicated. Now, first of all, I want to sit there and say, before we get into some of this stuff, it's crazy. Because when you were sitting there talking to us off mic, I'm like, who sits around thinking about all this stuff? And I'm thinking,
what, about weather warnings?
No, about all these different systems. Because Bill's sitting here regurgitating all this information. I've never even heard of half of it.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, so Bill's the guy that's sitting around thinking about it.
Well, it's complicated. It's insanely complicated. And we've said that for a while. I know it sounds as though we're trying to, you know, throw smoke and mirrors and all that. But the reality is there's no great technology. You're weighing good and bad. And you don't want to send too many warnings out there. You know, people will start tuning out and not paying attention if you warn them too many times.
Now, relatively speaking, let me just say this, that Bill, I know as far as tax dollars go and expenditures, you know, Bill's not, his problems, his deal's not throw money at it and try and fix it and just buy everything that you can.
Right.
I've seen you speak at city council and you're, you know, obviously concerned about good stewardship, but the one thing that you were telling me is you were talking about warning fatigue. Now, the biggest disaster as far as tornado goes in recent memory would be Joplin, Missouri.
That's one of the most recent ones, yeah.
Okay, now, you were talking about warning fatigue had a large part to play with the unpreparedness there.
Simply put, they tested their sirens too many times. They tested every Monday morning at 10 a.m. during the warm months. They sounded the sirens whenever the wind would blow above 70 miles an hour or 75 miles an hour. Their sirens were always going off. And as a result, people were used to not paying attention to them. And so with any sort of system we have, whether it's your NOAA weather radio, whether it's watching the TV weatherman or the radio weatherman give the critical information that you need, everyone is weighing trying to strike the perfect balance between giving you the critical information you need when you need it and not doing that too many times.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you hear the sound to take cover, the direction to take cover, you do it. Without any questions asked, you go ahead and you do it. You duck and cover. And that's because, as I said earlier, fatigue will set in. And it's like the boy who cried wolf.
Right.
Eventually, people stop listening to him. And we know this, which is why we're constantly, do we send the message out? Do we not send the message out? And the one thing that we know, when the National Weather Service finally makes a determination, we are going to do this, it's good, actionable information. They put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into ensuring that when they release a warning or an alert, it's good, and you can, or watch, and you can go ahead and act on
it. It's truly a threat.
It's truly something you need to pay attention to.
Now, the one thing that always, you know, struck me funny was whenever you hear the warnings from the National Weather Service on NOAA Weather Radio, they always sound like they're broadcast from, you know, a shoebox with, you know, people walking on, you know, pecan shells or something. It's very hard to understand. You know what I'm saying? It's like from the National Weather Service, Lubbock, Texas.
It's got that very, very familiar old copper wire telephone sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's what transmits the signal to the transmitters. They use an old-fashioned pair of copper phone wires to transmit the signal 22 miles to the transmitter and then get it out to you. So, yeah.
How would a guy like Bill know that it was 22 miles? Is it really 22 miles?
If I remember correctly, off the top of my head, yeah, it's 22 miles.
These guys have a plethora of information. anyway, I was just kind of curious about that.
Well, now, actually, speaking of the weather radios, let's go to that just real quick.
Sure.
Because while we're trying to decide, you know, what we're going to do, it's a good idea for everybody to have one of those radios, right?
And that's just it. The city of Lubbock is still investigating, and that's good. I'm glad they're doing their due diligence. But the notion that no one will be safe until the city of Lubbock comes up with its final decision is silly.
Right.
Go out and buy a weather radio. Buy one that you can program so that you receive the alerts you care about. If you have a smartphone, why don't you have a smartphone app yet that goes off and tells you about these alerts? If you don't have a smartphone, you have a regular cell phone or a regular home phone service, why haven't you signed up for one of the calling systems offered by the TV stations?
Mm-hmm.
There are simple little things that everyone can do today to be prepared. And everyone who's prepared today is one less person that the city has to reach out and warn later on once we figure
absolutely
out what we're
gonna do. Let me say something right here. You bring up the the warning systems that some of the TV stations have, where they do the call on your cell phone or mm-hmm. the app that whatnot. Here's the thing: that may or may not always be the case. The majority of the time, you can probably bank on it. But here's what you rely on. Generally speaking, if you have a feeling in your gut that you may need to be concerned, listen to it. Even if your alert hasn't gone off.
Absolutely. Right. Don't trust on the alert. If you look up in the sky and you go, oh, dear, go with that.
You know what those green ones look like.
Yeah. The clouds are kind of green. If you're seeing funnels dropping out of those clouds.
Yeah. It's 7:51, back with Bill Kernow from the Tornado Warning Task Force. News Talk 790 KFYO 756 with Tom and Laura. We're with Bill Kernow. Okay. You're a volunteer with the Red Cross, former chairman of the board of directors for the South Plains Red Cross. You're on this task force. What is your official title?
Which one?
he wears a lot of hats.
I'm officially the disaster program manager volunteer partner for the local chapter. In other words, I've got a staff counterpart, and she and I are equals, and if I can do it, she can do it. If she's out of town, I cover. If I'm out of town, she covers. That's my official title. It's wordy. So I'm a disaster responder.
Okay. off mic, you were talking about a system that the PD has, and I didn't realize, I wasn't aware of this. It's called NIXLE, NIXLE.
Right, correct.
And so how does this work?
Well, basically, it's a mass notification system that you sign up for, and forgive me because I forget the exact address to go to sign up for it, but it's through the Lubbock Police Department, and you can give them a cell phone, email address, text number, home phone number, whatever methods of communication you want. And when they have something that they feel the public needs to know about, they push that out. Now, being the police department, more often than not, you see traffic messages. We're at morning drive time on the loop. If something were to happen on the loop, they would push a message out saying, hey, avoid this section of the loop. But they also pushed it out recently. We had that at the time we thought it was an active shooter, a potential active shooter situation with a young disturbed Marine a few months back, and they said, avoid this area. We're in the process of a law enforcement action. The SWAT team was out. So they'll send messages like that. And that is something that Lubbockites can do right now. If they're looking for some kind of a mass notification system to be a part of that they can sign up for. And I will try and get that information for you.
I have that here, I think. It's text your zip code to 888-777. Could that be correct?
And that's certainly one of them. I know if you go to the City of Lubbock webpage for the police department, mm-hmm. you should also find information on NIXLE, and it's
okay.
NIXLE.
Right.
Does that stand for anything in particular, or is that just what they call
it? That's just the really cool service that they bought into. I don't know if it stands for anything.
Okay. All right. So social media, reverse 911 calling, the NOAA weather radios, which, I mean, you would look at that as Old Faithful. The sirens.
There's a difference, though, on weather radios. What kind should we be getting?
Well, you're looking for one that has SAME, S-A-M-E technology. It's a way to program the radio so that you can say, I care about these counties and I care about these alerts. And that way you can really customize the experience. And if you're only worried about tornadoes, you can set it up to only go off if a tornado's on its way.
Well, that's good, because then you're not hearing every
exactly
tornado right. warning for, you know, a 1,000-mile radius.
Well, the thing is if you are in an area that's not going to be subjected to flash floods, because let me tell you something. I had, when I first got my weather radio, I set it up. I was like, you know, I want to be in the know, because information's power, right? So I had Lubbock County and the surrounding counties that touched Lubbock County, so I'd know when it's...
It was going off all the time.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You know, in March, April, May, it was just like, I can't tell you how many dings I put in the wall by throwing that thing.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't turn it off fast enough. They were going off like every couple of minutes.
So get the one that says SAME on it, S-A-M-E, that's program right. it to what you're really interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'm in the know on this warning fatigue stuff.
Yeah.
I'm well seasoned.
Bill, thank you so much
you're
for
welcome.
Being here this
thank
morning.
You.
Lots of interesting information.